been really successful. And of course, we've stepped up our classroom talks, and this is stuff again you all know. But we've been better about making a call to action to get people to come into the school for a follow up. And the event we generally do is we have at most of our campuses we have a one appointment in the week. It's a Wednesday at 7:30. That's specifically a half hour that's open. There's always going to be a board breaking clinic, so I can anywhere throughout the week I can say, and by the way, if we do a school talk or wherever it might be, I can invite someone to a specific event. And obviously, if you've done this, sometimes nobody shows up, sometimes four people show up, but you never know. And the other thing that I'm really excited about with our staff is that I've got a lot of these guys out of their comfort zone doing stuff they're not really necessarily comfortable in doing, and that is more grassroots promotional stuff. When a lot of the guys that we seem to attract to our organization are kind of more instructor minded. But what's happened is when we really started pushing this, the first few weeks people weren't getting very good results, and it was kind of frustrating. But, I would keep on reminding them, hey, man, you're out there doing stuff, is going to happen. But we know when you're out there hustling, it doesn't always come from where you expect it to come from, but the phone just starts ringing more. And so now we're really starting to see success off that. And just tightening up on belt promotions, just, we know how to do the call to action at belt promotions, but maybe we didn't do it with the same level of intensity. So basically, I like to refer to it as zero basing, just really analyzing all the basic stuff that we should be doing it and doing it better. I think that's the key. So I just wanted to kind of touch on that real fast because that worked better than other stuff has in the past.
Excuse me, Mr. Covert?
Yeah.
You said callbacks at a belt promotion. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Okay, so basically on a belt promotion, what we're going to do is we're going to have a call to action, okay? And it's pretty subtle, but first off, when people come into a belt promotion, we're going to try to make it, a real event, right? There's music playing. What we found, and this is what we did last Friday, is we at all the campuses, we of course have a wheel to spin because people love spinning wheels, right? And instead, we used to have people register to win a 3-month course or a VIP. What we're doing is we're changing it to parties because we want to fill those Saturday slots. And so what we did is on one campus, we won. 13 people won birthday parties. So how we do birthday parties now is we actually make them free for everybody who's trained for less than a year. If you trained over a year, then we charge. And the logic behind this is of course, is that you guys know that someone's been training for 3 years. When they have a birthday party, all the kids they bring are either students that they've already been to 2 or 3 other birthday parties. So, we're happy to do it, but we're going to get paid for that. But the new people we're giving for free. So people, we already have that available, but somehow when you spin the wheel and you win a free birthday party, it makes a bigger deal about it. So all of a sudden now, instead of having a much mediocre participation in our free drawing, all of a sudden we had lines of people and excited about winning a birthday party. And then, of course, the call to action has to do with is just simply the instructor at the end of the promotion commenting, making a, talking about how Bobby, how much he's improved. And, of course, Bobby was referred to by Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy. Look, aren't you glad that you got Bobby involved? And people in the stands, I want to let you know that nobody ever regrets martial training in martial arts. And I know there's somebody out there that are considering wondering if it's the right thing for you. Well, it is. And feel free after the promotion to come talk to Instructor Bob or Instructor Sarah. We're offering a free month for anybody that's interested tonight. So, it's like I said, you do this, sometimes you get nobody, other times, all of a sudden, you've got 3 or 4 appointments for the following week. So that's what I was referring to.
Mr. Kovar,
yes.
Your party wheel that you have there, what else do you guys put on it? Obviously, you're not giving everybody a free birthday party.
No. So what we'll do is we actually, this time, we did mini private lessons, 15-minute private lessons with an instructor. And then we have like little ditties, some goodies that we have that have our logo, T-shirts, coffee cups, that kind of stuff.
Great.
But we didn't actually have any free lessons on this. We didn't do any lessons at all this time because that's kind of our standing offer, right? We will, depending on the offer, it's going to be 2 weeks or a month, but we didn't even put that on there. And I kind of like the way it's spun. Another thing that we did is that we found the wheel to be incredibly... at events, external events, incredibly good. I helped out at an event at the state capitol about a month and a half ago because my kids were in a demo that we did, and so I was kind of hanging out at the booth for a couple hours. And we had a line 10 deep of people, and on the wheel, they were spinning on top of getting some different prizes that were material prizes. One of them was they got to do they won 10 push-ups, so they were excited about it. Oh, good, 10 push-ups, and the next one was 15 squats, And it was kind of interesting that people were lined up, and one person, you know, spun the wheel and they got squats, and they said, oh, I want to do push-ups. And I was like, okay, do push-ups. You know, it was just funny. You know, it's kind of like, anyway. But I was just blown away by the people, the whole concept of how well the wheel. We've tried so many things, and that really seems to really draw people's attention. And, of course, board breaking works well at these advanced balloons. It works well. The trick is, of course, having them stand long enough to really see who has some interest. Now, you all know that these leads are not as good as when someone brings a friend into the classroom.
Yeah, exactly.
It's without a doubt. But, you know, you never know. We've all had someone that we enrolled in a bizarre place. So it's kind of like you got to assume that everybody you talk to. So one of the things I'm going to talk about this weekend, but kind of the four mindsets that I have, and I'll just kind of switch gears for this. The first mindset is assume people are interested in martial arts. So when you're out and they see the logo on your shirt, don't look and say, oh, that person's not interested. You know, just assume they're interested. You know, because every one of you guys has been on vacation, and, you know, you're having dinner, and there's another couple, and you start a conversation, and they ask, you know, what you do for a living, and you tell them you're a professional martial arts instructor, they look at you funny, and then you start a conversation, and by the time the evening ends, they're going to enroll their kids when they get back home. Right? Would you guys agree you all had that happen?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what we have to assume is wherever we're at, wherever people we meet, when our subject of what we do comes up, the person on the other end of the conversation, I've got to assume they're interested. That's the first assumption. The second one is when someone comes into your school, and by the way, guys, this is, I don't think it's much for you, but maybe for the team, right?
On the floor. I've always had to work to go talk to parents or spouses. That's just not really where
I feel the most comfortable. So I've had to learn to do it, right? So and I realize that a lot of young instructors and new instructors also have a hard time. So we spend a lot of time in their early training giving them real easy ways to go up and communicate with parents. Just little stuff like, you know, anytime you see a kid that does a decent job, especially if they're usually a challenged kid, make sure to go up to the parent and just praise them. Oh, Bobby, you did a great job in class today. And if they don't know someone, it's okay to walk up and say, which one is yours? And just to really encourage basically communication so that they the parent knows that the instructor knows that they were in good watching, if that makes any sense. Just that there's a connection there. So you want me to keep going?
Please.
Yeah, man. They're gonna have you. Hey, Dave, I walked in a few minutes late here. They're gonna have you go as long as you have stamina and vocal cords and time allotment.
Well, so for whatever reason, as you know, Steve, if God gives me lots of energy, man, I could go on a long time. Unfortunately, I have a class in a bit, so I don't know if it's bad, but I was kind of fighting the MMA thing for a long time, although I love to train, and I have a bunch of guys that we do that, right? I do a lot of grappling, but I've actually got a fight team now, and I really didn't want it, but it just kind of evolved, and of course, now, honestly, I'm having a great time, so I have my guys coming down, it's Friday fun day. Thursday fun day, so I've got about 10 or 15 minutes here.
Perfect. Hey, let me ask you one question that they may not have addressed. If you were to go back and, what's it been now, 15 years, and there's an inflection point from when you went from, you know, decently profitable in the Lysol school, probably around the time that you and Tim started working together, a little bit after that, to the time that everything really started exploding.
Uh-huh.
So you ended up breaking the million a year mark and never looking back. What was the difference? What did you do to move from running a nice profitable school to a phenomenal organization?
Well, you know, first off, it's the phrase, in order to be a champion, you have to fight like a challenger, and once you stop trying to become better, you quit being good, right? Is that for whatever reason, you know, I don't know if it's intense worry or what it is, but, you know, I enjoy what I do, so it's not really, you know, the old phrase, I only work half days, the first 12 hours, the second 12 hours, which is true. I don't think we've ever slowed down at all. It's like I'm pretty much still at the office. I was here at work today at 10 to 8, and this is an early day, so I'll actually be home with my family. I'm getting off early because I'm hopping on a plane tomorrow to go visit you guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, normally my days are pretty long. I schedule time with my family, so I still see my kids. I bring them to school in the morning. I spend time with them after school, you know, et cetera. So I make it a point to, you know, to pace myself. But at the same time, I'm pretty committed, you know, and making my organization grow because, you know, success, as you all know, is fleeting. I mean, me and you, we've had a, you know, we overexpanded. We expanded a little bit too fast. I've had some guys that I thought were qualified to run schools that were really good in one aspect, but they really weren't ready to manage. So, and we overextended ourselves, as Steve, you and I have talked about, in leases that were, you know, too big a location and too much money. And, you know, we've been fighting hard the last couple of years to kind of regain our center. And we've made great progress. But it's a reminder to me that, man, I think the key thing is the phrase happy but not satisfied.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we've never, as an organization, my brother or I, never kind of decided, okay, I've got this figured out. I think I'll just show up at 4 today or I'm going to take the night off. You know, I mean, those are few and far between. I certainly, you know, do when necessary, but it's not a habit. It's the exception. And then the other thing that I continue to do is kind of like what you guys are doing right now. And that's why, you know, you all know how valuable it is to be hanging out with Master Oliver for a few days and how he gets you thinking on a whole other level, is that we forget that when we're thinking about going to the seminar, I'm busy, I got this going, that going, but once you go, you're always happy you did. And what we've continued to do is try to continue to keep our learning curve strong. And of course, for me, a big part of it is I still love martial arts. And so that, me personally, it's a big chunk of it. When I'm fired and up, training hard and feeling like I'm in pretty good shape, just a better for everybody else around me, and so I try to keep that learning curve going, and then just, you know, read the right books, listen to the right tapes, go to the right seminars, surround myself with the right people, and really also another thing is try to listen to the market. And what I mean by that is you know, am I really teaching what my students want? Of course, that's kind of a loaded question, because you all know if you love traditional if you pick the style, it doesn't matter. You know, traditional Okinawan karate, if that's what you love, and it totally shows up, that your students pick up on that, right? But you have to, I guess what my point is, and then you can be very successful that way, or you can be successful teaching something else. My point is you have to be congruent with what it is that you're teaching. It's got to be in line with what you think you should be teaching your students. And like for me, having a mission statement, my mission statement is to globally empower people of all ages to become more confident, healthy, happy, and contributing members of society through high-quality martial arts instruction, which consists of training in self-defense, health, fitness, and life skills. So that's my mission statement, and I visit it often, and it kind of keeps me kind of grounded as to what I'm doing. And so when I don't feel like going out and doing a school talk or talking to the Rotary, I remind myself of that. It kind of gets me off my rear and does it, and to do it. And then when I'm done doing it, I'm always happy I did. You guys are all experiencing the same thing. My brother taught me a mantra 15 years ago, and it goes like this: successful people will do what unsuccessful people won't do. And I can't tell you how many times I've recited that on my car on the way to doing a show and tell for a bunch of kindergartners, or going to an old folks home with a demo team, all that kind of stuff that kind of you just kind of have to grind out, right? And unfortunately, I always liked doing that. I don't do it as much now because I got my team doing it. But I think, man, I don't know of an easy way to develop, be successful in martial arts. What I'm saying is that maybe there's one out there. I don't know too many guys that have had long-term success. And I'm not talking about guys that had a year or two that were good. I'm talking about guys that have been in the trenches for years and years that aren't pretty much working hard. Now, with that said, the flip side is you have to pace yourself. And one of the things that my dad taught me when I was a young guy was, if you don't take care of your body will take care of you. And when you're in a hurry, take your time. And he was always referring to the courts of, hey, man, are you making sure you're, and this is basic stuff, but sometimes we just need to be, are you eating right? Are you exercising? Are you sleeping like you should? Because what happens is that's going to keep your energy level high, and it's going to allow you to keep your momentum, because it's really not about having an incredibly great month as it is about having an incredibly great year, right? I mean, we all had really great months, and the next one sucked, and that's not, what we want. We want to see steady, slow growth, in a lifestyle that we can sustain over time, so that we're not killing ourselves over the long haul. And one of the things, like I do, and if I'm deviating, just direct me back, but this is, I think this is all related, is that three times a day I take a 20-minute break. Right after I get up and I go to the gym early, and I do a 20-minute meditation. After lunch, I always take a 20-minute nap. And in the afternoon, I put on a Do Not Disturb a sign on my door, and I shut my eyes for 20 minutes. And I can't tell you, even when I'm super busy, I make time to do that, and I can't tell you how it recharges me. And that, so now I have an evening of classes, I'm charged up for it, versus having to, take a Red Bull in the afternoon to get me through the evening. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's like I'm trying not to deplete my resources, so to speak.
Good. Yeah, good answer. Quick question for Mr. Cover. No? We have a quiet and reserved group here today. Go ahead.
Dave, I got a question for you. I'm a fairly new school owner, per se. We've had our school about a year and a half.
Okay.
And, I took it over from my father. The school was in bad shape. And we've seen a tremendous amount of growth very quickly. We've doubled our student count. We've quadrupled our gross. And for me, the growth that we're getting is what we want to continue with, but I'm afraid, that if it continues to grow like this, that I'm not going to know how to handle it. Any tips?
Yeah, a couple things. First off, a tree only grows so high, so you can't continue to quadruple growths. You look at how Tony Robbins has changed his strategy over the years. If you follow Tony Robbins, how he was doing a million seminars a year, now he's cut back a little bit, right? He's a little bit more, changed kind of the way he looks at things, as I think he's gotten a little older and more mature, right? Well, what does that mean to you and your school? I think, first off, is that don't let that, I think it's healthy to have that viewpoint, because that means you're conscientious about doing the right thing, okay? But do not let that keep you from working hard, right? And it's the old thing, if you build it, they will come. What you have to do now, how many students do you have right now?
We're at about 145.
Good for you. Congratulations. Well, in order to get to 200, you have to think like a 200 school student school. Excuse me. So what that means is your schedule in line with it to allow for, because right now if you have one class that's just packed, man, you can't get any more people in it. I promise you that's going to be an issue. You're not ever going to have more people if you can't make space for them. So you might relook at your schedule to look for change. You might look in the future. you want to time it like fast blast of that so you can pull a bunch of people out. The next thing is, you know, systems driven, baby. And what that means is that when you have 140 students, you by yourself can know everybody's name pretty well. You kind of know what everybody's working on, you know. But as you grow, that can't be the case. So what you have to do is have to have a real clear way, method, and there's a million different ways, but a real clear method with which to be able to keep track of your students so you know who you talk to about what when they came in last, and then methodically stay on it. And you know what? If you do that, I don't care how big your school is, as long as your students, when they, you can have 40 kids in a class, and if you do little things like the 3x3 rule, right, during class, make sure you make eye contact, communicate your name, and appropriate body contact 3 times during class, 40 people in class, and as long as they know you know they were in class, you still have that one-on-one attention. But it's harder. It doesn't just happen by chance. And remember, as you grow your school, the percentage is such to where you cannot, enrolling 15 new members a month, you can't continue to grow your school at the same rate. Because what happens if your dropout rate stays the same? Let's say you're losing 5% of your students every month, and you have 100 students in the school. Well, every month, you know, if you have 100 students, you only need 5 new members to maintain your growth, your status. And if you have 10, you're gaining 5 a month, right? But that evens out pretty quick. So what I'm saying is, to grow your school, you also have to percentage-wise grow the number of inquiries you have and new members you're enrolling to match, which isn't always easy. So it takes a real conscious effort to get from 150 to 200. It rarely happens just by chance.
Good, good. Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hey, Dave, one other thing, and
yes, sir.
Well, actually, you're out of time, aren't you? You got to go.
I got 5 minutes. We're good for 5.
Oh, okay. So if there's one thing to concentrate on, the sales process, the process of bringing a new student in and then moving them up into a renewal, what would be the thing to make sure that all of your staff gets about that process?
You mean the renewal process?
Or in the enrollment process. I mean, if you're ultimately teaching.
We all have to be on the same mindset. We have to know that, you know, in other words, hopefully there's a little powwow with the team. Everybody's involved about who's on the handoff. Now, one of the things that happens, and I'm embarrassed to say it happens in my school all the time, and it should, but somehow it means that that is that someone's on a 2-week or 4-week VIP, and somehow we take them off the schedule. You know, sometimes an instructor says, oh, yeah, you can come whenever you want for class, and now we don't know where they are in the process. So, of course, in a perfect world, until someone is enrolled, they have a standing appointment, and everybody in the school knows. So I know today that at 4 o'clock I have Mr. Smith is coming in with Bobby. He had his orientation last week. He's taking his first class today. And at 5:30, Marilyn Jones is coming in with her friend for an orientation. And then I, you know, so in other words, I'm keeping track so people fall through the cracks. I think that's what sometimes happens. It's like until they're a student, everybody on the team needs to know where they're So, you know, out on the floor, an instructor's working with someone, they should know after class today, this person needs to do an enrollment conference, you know, that they need to do the enrollment conference, and that the parents have to talk to about orientation, that kind of thing. So it goes back to communication amongst the team members to make sure that we kind of know where the person is in the process.
Yeah, nobody gets lost in the shuffle. How do you train your staff to be good at closing the sale, but also to keep the right perspective on what the long-term relationship is all about?
Well, first off, I think we're really soft, Steve. We're probably softer than a lot of people are. I'm totally confident in my program, and maybe too much, to the point to where if someone doesn't want to roll today, I certainly want them to write it down and payment out, but I'm never going to send them. You know, the old thing about, you know, well, all the sales lines, and if the spouse isn't there, what you say, you know, I don't do that, man. You know, bottom line is that we'll show them the program, and if they want to go home and talk to their wife or husband, I'm totally good with that. No problem, because I've got to believe that I did my process correctly, and they'll appreciate the softer sell. Has that cost us some sales through the years? I'm sure it has, but I think it's more than made up for it with people that felt real comfortable with the process. So we're, you know, we're going to be pleasantly, you know, we're going to prod them pleasantly, and I we don't even enforce, obviously, you know, if you're in an early incentive to enroll, you know, you're going to get a free uniform or $100 off, you know, the down payment or whatever it might be. We offer that, but if someone, we'll still extend that. Can I think about it? Yeah, no problem. I tell you what, it's Monday. Can you let me know by Wednesday if you want to do that? So we're pretty soft on that end. But then we're gonna do our best to make sure that we've done our job on the floor to where they're raving fans of the program.
Yeah. So So you just said something important there, that they're creating raving fans all the way through, creating a high perspective of value, so that...
It's not just value, it's perceived value.
Right.
Now, I know a lot of guys teach great martial arts, but somehow that they're not relating, they're not reminding their students of what all the stuff they're learning. And so on a regular basis, you kind of got to tell them, this is what, you know, isn't it great? Aren't you learning great? How have you improved? You know, get them to a lot of buy-in that really helps that process.
Absolutely. Well, we better let you go play with your team.
Can I speak with either you or Toby offline for a minute?
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you all tomorrow.
I'm not sure we know how to do this. We'll call you right back from a different line.
Okay, great. Sounds good. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
He's a girl.
Oh, he's great.
Fantastic, right?
I'll call him right back.
Sure.
Yeah.
We should do lunch pretty quick. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Let's just walk up to the corner and do that and not do the fiasco of yesterday. Save ourselves the...
I thought you were going to have a plan.
Gray hair. That was my plan. My plan was to do what was the easiest, most practical... what do you call it? Least logistically intense, but, you know, things.